All right, welcome in
to another edition of the Crossing Routes Podcast, fueled by FTN. If you haven't noticed by now, it's Tyler doing the intro, not Herms. Herms is out. We're continuing as we always do. The show must go on, but replacing Herms just for today, I have my good friend, Andrew Cooper, lead fantasy analyst at the Fantasy Alarm and FSWA Football Writer of the Year. Coop, what's going on, my man? Thanks for joining the show.
What's happening, bro? It's going to be hard to fill Herms' shoes. I saw him this week at the expo. I think that's why he's out today. I got in before him, right? Took his spot, dude. You're getting the Writer of the Year and the number one ranker from last year with Tyler Rowe. So I think we should be able to do all right today.
Great duo here. Always a pleasure to chop it up. Really appreciate you jumping on here. We're going to be talking through some players. Some of it's because of news. Some of it's because of preseason. Some of it's unfortunately because of injury. But there's players you're going to be seeing in the news. Players that other people are talking about. Players that we've decided we need to talk about. And more importantly, not just talking about them, but talking about what we want to do with these players. How are we handling this news? What are we doing with these players in terms of our ranks? Are we continuing to draft? Are we holding fast? Or are we starting to fade? Let's kick things off here. A guy that I've been grappling with a bit here, and I went back to the projections and it changed things for me, but I wanted to throw it over to you first, Coop, just to talk about Ladd McConkey. We're dealing with a left tackle injury there, premier left tackle that's definitely going to hurt. But then they add Keenan Allen back. Is this something that we should be concerned about for the Chargers game and specifically Ladd McConkey?
So we probably both still project Ladd McConkey as the top target on this team, but where he lives in the draft is a place where I don't want any uncertainty, right? When you're talking about a second round pick, and we're really splitting hairs between these guys at this level. And if you move a guy one spot in the rankings, you're not getting him anymore. Like, for instance, in the first round, I have CeeDee Lamb one spot just barely ahead of Justin Jefferson. That means I'm not getting a lot of Jefferson. That's how it works up top. So now for me, like, even if I don't move Ladd McConkey by much, one or two spots, if say now all of a sudden you like AJ Brown better or like Drake London better, you're only getting McConkey if he comes back in the next round. And I mean, he usually gets scooped up by the swing. So for me, I'm with you on that. I mean, Keenan Allen averaged what over the last 2 years, 9 targets a game,
right? Sounds right.
Over the last two, like, this guy can definitely be a thorn. He obviously knows Justin Herbert very well. This whole situation also completely vaporizes my super deep sleeping Aronde Gadsden, right? Because we were hoping he would get a little slot. Now they got two slot guys. You know, it's really not ideal. He had to go somewhere. I was hoping he would go somewhere like the Jets or something. So, Ladd McConkey, definitely a guy that, don't wipe him off your board. You're not doing that, right?
Certainly not wiping him off the board. But for me, I have moved him down. So I haven't moved him down in the sense of he's lower on the chart. So recently in the last 2 weeks, I put Drake London and AJ Brown above Ladd McConkey, but I'm not ready to move Tyreek Hill, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, those guys ahead of him. But what I have done is I've actually put more non-wide receiver players between. So while you won't see Ladd McConkey's rank, he's wide receiver 11 for me. So you won't see his wide receiver rank drop, but I have moved a couple guys ahead of Ladd McConkey to where now I have him ranked at the back end of the second. And that's traditionally not where you're going to get him at.
Right. So for me, I'm taking Jonathan Taylor ahead. I'm taking Chase Brown ahead. Josh Jacobs, if you're on the clock, you're taking Jacobs or McConkey?
I'm taking Jacobs.
Sure. So that's where I'm at too. I have it ranked the same way. And then again, once you do that and you push McConkey towards the front half of the third round, somebody else out there who's not paying attention, not to mention the Keenan Allen thing, but McConkey's are also dealing with a little mysterious something.
Yes,
huh?
He's
dealing with his own injury. So just for the time being, especially in best ball where it's I'm building portfolios and stuff, I just put a little yellow tape around the guy and let's see how things, sort out as the month goes on. But for right now, I got to see him out there healthy and I got to be reassured that this offensive line is going to be okay. Because, I mean, you just lost a guy you paid $100 million to in Rashawn Slater.
Yeah. The tackle injury aside, offensive line concerns aside, I'd add Keenan Allen back to my projections. And honestly, it wasn't a great thing to see for the Ladd McConkey fans out there. I should say I'm one now, even though I was wrong on him last year. Keenan Allen's going to get some work, right?
Right.
2 years removed, over 100 receptions, I believe, from Justin Herbert. So we're going to come into a lot of chemistry. We always talk about chemistry and how important it is as a wide receiver. Keenan Allen and Herbert have it. And then I think he still caught at least 70 balls in the Bears. We watched a pretty washed Keenan Allen out-target Roma Dunze consistently, right? So I don't think he goes away. Like, I still projected, in my opinion, a conservative 70 target. So I think he had 70 catches last year. I'm for 70 targets this year. And just that alone took enough away from McConkey where he just had to slide a little bit for me, right? That was the big piece of this. And while Trey Harris hasn't really shown out, I don't really know what's going to happen to that other wide receiver. There's just a lot going on here where it's just not making sense for me to take that early second swing like I was a month ago.
Yeah, it's those chunks, right? Those chunks out of the projections that are a problem. And I don't think if people realize if you're like, oh, 70 feels like a decent amount, that's only four a game, right? 4.1 or something like that a game. So, you know, that can add up and they can take away from the other guys. Definitely, I might as well mention while we're talking about it that I've pumped the brakes a little bit on Trey Harris and Quentin Johnson definitely now much less appealing. I mean, like, it was so nice when it was like, okay, we know who the three wide receivers are. You got a couple inline tight ends. You got this rookie that might play a little big slot tight end. Now with Keenan Allen there, it takes away like so many of those things. Because if Keenan Allen is the second target on the team getting 80 or 90 targets, maybe he's not relevant, but the only relevant guy on the team ends up being McConkey. So it's just, you don't want it. You want teams with their back against the ropes with like two good players. That's what we want in fantasy.
Last thing I'll say about McConkey is too, is while I don't think he's just a slot guy, I think he proved that last year he's indeed not just a slot guy, he's an outside guy. But correct me if I'm wrong, like, he certainly played in the slot and he had some slot snaps last year, right?
His role was the Chris Godwin, Cooper Kupp, CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb, when the year that he had 400 PPR points, he played the fourth most. Ran the fourth most routes in the slot of any player, right? Yep. What they do is in three wide receiver sets, he plays in the slot. And then for two wide receiver sets, he moves out wide. And one of the field stretchers, the third, the flanker or the split end, typically the flanker comes out of the game. And that's what they did with McConkey. It's kind of like Julian Edelman would do that too. And I hate that people like correctly comp him to Julian Edelman, but they don't know why. Right.
Fair enough.
Because the people forget that people think he was just a slot guy and he wasn't. So So you're right. But to your point, it's a lot easier. You get better matchups out of the slot. Sometimes they have no choice.
And Keenan Allen's not playing outside.
No, he's not. He can't. Yeah. So it's like you're getting if you use motion and you move guys around and you audible, you can sometimes get your slot guy on a linebacker. You can get him on a safety. Nickel corner is almost always your third best corner. So, like, that's why teams are putting CeeDee Lamb in the slot and Chris Godwin. People figured out that some of these, Sauce Gardner's never coming in there, right? He stays out wide. A lot of these guys never come in there. So it's kind of like, we're going to put our best guy on your worst guy. Well, now McConkey's probably going to play outside.
Yep. So it's one of those situations where I think we've done maybe a disservice here because we certainly are still in on McConkey, right?
Right.
It's just he goes at ADP. I went from probably early second to late second. And like you said, we're talking, top 24, that's substantial.
Right. That's the thing. Is it if this is later on in drafts, you can move a guy, down 10 spots and he's still a spot where you're taking him. I've done that with, certain players that I do like. Like I at one point when he was banged up a little bit, I moved Michael Pittman down a little bit, but I moved him down from being very aggressive to really aggressive. You know what I mean?
Fair enough. Yeah. Yeah. All right, let's shift gears. Next big news here and something that I've been thinking a lot about how to handle this is Matt Stafford. It seems like the back issues have been a problem. A lot of talk, maybe drumbeats of folks saying, oh, it's not a big deal. He's going to be fine. We expect him out there. But guess what? He is no longer out there, and he is in an Airstream, cryo, frozen or something right now on the sidelines. I don't know what's going on in there, man. But all I can say is Stafford not playing.
Han Solo.
Yeah. Maybe that's what they're doing. Anyway, if it works, it works. But the issue here for me is this injury doesn't seem to be getting better. Right. And it reminds me almost of Christian McCaffrey last year when the signs were there and we ignored them. Right. And it come back to bit us and bite us. And I feel the same way right now with Stafford, not so much Stafford as a fantasy asset, but Stafford and how he props up Puka Nacua and Davante Adams and Kyren Williams as fantasy assets. Because there's a lot more that happens here. A lot more people are affected if Stafford can't play. So it's not really about Stafford not playing, but if we are downgraded Jimmy Garoppolo, how do we handle his top three, fantasy options as that has those guys all go in the top three, four rounds of fantasy draft. So curious to get your thoughts on Stafford and how you're kind of handling this injury news that doesn't seem to be going away.
Yeah, it's bad news. And especially because you and I both big best ball players. Stafford was my second most rostered quarterback. Yeah, it was only at 20%. I've got him, he's down to 5 because I, you know, again, I put the brakes on that now. I'm still willing to take him if it's very late, if I have the correlations, right? If I already took, you know, Puka Nacua or Davante Adams, but the team is flat out better with him out there. The people that, that's the first thing people got to realize, that Jimmy Garoppolo is fine, but I don't think people understand that level that a guy like Stafford plays at, like a veteran star like this. And it's not just about the ability to pass the football. Like, there are guys that are smart enough that, you know, they have, you have a zone run called, and, you know, you're hoping there's going to be gaps, and the team comes out with 6 guys on the line, and he audibles to a, like a trap, right? Like, there are quarterbacks that are, there are things that we don't think about from fantasy perspective that they're doing out there once the, you know, the coach gets shut off in your ear, right? Like, that Jimmy G is just never, he's not going to be at that level. Even if they've been coaching him up to start since all this started, he's just not going to be there. So yeah, I'm moving down all the, if Stafford is not going to be playing, you have to move down Kyren as well. Because yep. People are going to say, oh, they'll just run it more. When in the world does that ever work? Oh, we'll just have a bad quarterback, but we'll run more. That it's just not a thing that happens. You know what I mean? The team is just going to flat out be worse. So we need Stafford back out there. I'm hoping they get him going. Again, he was supposed to be there today, but he was in street clothes, right? So I don't know. So I definitely, I had to move, you know, Bryce Young, Tua, Cam Ward, pretty much anybody that's alive. You know, it has to be a better option right now, right? I mean, it's... Unless you have the correlations in a best ball or, you know, super, again, in super flex, it scares the heck out of me because it's like, that can't be my second quarterback, only my third.
Yep. I'm with you on Stafford, man. It's a very big concern of mine. And I wouldn't say that I've necessarily been drafting that much Stafford. Last couple of years hasn't really been much of a difference maker. A fine QB2, I would say, in the QB2 or the super flex slot. So, for me, this is much less about Stafford and how I'm going to handle like the weapons, right? And we just got on talking about Ladd McConkey and how a couple slots means so much, especially at the top of the draft. And Puka Nacua is a guy that I've actually moved down a little bit. He has been a mainstay in the first round for me, a guy that if I'm picking at 8, 9, 10, 11, love seeing him there. I've been taking him a lot. I've recently, unfortunately, moved Puka down to 13, just outside the first round. So again, he's top 13 pick, first pick in the second round, but you know, I've got Nico Collins squarely ahead of him now. I've also moved Christian McCaffrey and Devin Achane higher than him in my standard redraft leagues. Think like half PPR redraft leagues. Those are running backs I'll be targeting. So the injury with Stafford really, you know, gives me some pause. Yes, I still think Nacua is great. I believe I have him ranked now that I take a peek at this. He's sitting at wide receiver 8. So clearly still think he's good, but it's those small margins when you're getting so high up in these drafts. And that first round pick needs to be an absolute can't miss. And if Stafford is missing time, I believe that is a miss on Puka Nacua. And for those reasons, I really just got to move him down a bit and go for things that I think are a bit more of a sure thing.
Yeah, so let me guess. Let me see if I can guess your 7 ahead. Chase, Lamb, Jefferson, Neighbors. You already said Collins. Mm-hmm. That's 5?
Chase, Lamb, Neighbors, Jefferson.
Collins.
And
then I'm guessing Brian Thomas and Amon-Ra St. Brown.
You got him, man. That's exactly how it goes.
That's how I have it too. And the moment you move Brian Thomas ahead, you're almost never getting Puka Nacua. That's what I found in drafts, but it's the way I'm drafting it right now. We'll see what happens. Again, if Stafford comes back and he's looking good, we'll put him back.
Absolutely. All right, let's take a short break here. Wanted to give us a couple minutes here to breathe. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Hey, hey, it's Herms from FTN's Crossing Routes podcast. Football season is right around the corner, and there's no better way to lock in your fantasy dominance early than with best ball on DraftKings, where you draft once and ride your roster all season long. And right now, DraftKings is giving all customers a can't-miss offer. Draft one, get one. Enter a lineup in the $15 million best ball contest for just $20, and you'll score another best ball ticket to play free for a share of $15 million, giving you a second shot to win big. It's easy. Just draft your team once, no weekly management required, and let your top scorers automatically start each week. Across the whole season, every breakout start, every clutch play, every touchdown will count toward your quest for a share of $15 million. You want to start your draft with Ja'Marr Chase and come back around with Joe Burrow? Get yourself a nice little Bengals stack? You definitely can. You want to try to play the ADP a little bit and scoop some value on rookies? You could definitely build your roster that way. You could do anything you want in this $15 million best ball contest. Download the DraftKings Daily Fantasy app now to draft your $20 best ball lineup to play for a share of $15 million. And get a second ticket to play free for a share of $15 million. That's two chances to win big without ever setting your lineup again. Draft one, get one. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY at 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Void where prohibited. One per customer. Enter the Best Ball $15 million Headliner Contest by September 4th, 2025 to get one bonus entry. $20 entry fee required. Reward expires in 30 days. See terms at DraftKings.com/NFL-best-ball. Sponsored by DraftKings.
Welcome back in. This is the FTN Fantasy Crossing Routes Podcast. Joined here by my friend Andrew Cooper. Herms couldn't make it, but the ball still rolls. Wanted to turn this over to you a bit here because you and I have been a longtime fan of Joe Mixon, but he's getting older. Offensive line is suspect, and he is at risk of missing week one, which is just never a good thing to see. How are you handling this Joe Mixon news, Coop?
Yeah, I mean, Joe Mixon, you and I, we've taken advantage of the negative stigma. That there are certain players that carry a stigma that doesn't translate to their fantasy football. Like Kyler Murray, for instance, people think he's a, you know, he plays too many video games. He's not a leader. He's first in the chow line, but he's still QB8 all time in fantasy football scoring per game. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Like he still is a good fantasy football.
Every right? single time somebody brings up Kyler, I say every year he's finished a full season. He's been a top 10 quarterback. Yeah, every season right. he's played that's been full has been a top 10 quarterback. I'm with you.
So, but it's the stigma that people kind of get the ick about this guy. And then they, you know, we will benefit on that. And you and I have been doing that with Mixon for years. We're like, I'm not sure if you guys have noticed, but like he used to be injury prone, hadn't really got kind of away from that. And every time you take him at ADP, he outperforms it. So we've been taking advantage of that. This year, his ADP was a little bit high for me and I wasn't taking him that much. This is the crazy mental gymnastics that goes on with fantasy football. Because with this foot thing, I have moved him down from where I had him. So I had him at a place where I wasn't getting him much. I moved him down, but it seems that everyone else moved him so far down that now I'm kind of getting some of him. So it's this weird like, you know, when you're really plugged in and doing best ball drafts and stuff, you kind of realize that like some people might be overreacting on this one. Mm-hmm. So I'm getting some exposure now because I wanted to have some. I just didn't, you know, I had other guys in that range. I was really taking a ton of Kenneth Walker and Alvin Kamara and those guys who were stopping me from getting a lot of Mixon. And now that he's falling like, you know, like a lead balloon, I'm sneaking him in a little bit. So now my exposure is going up, but you have to be worried that he's just not out there. And I mean, you know, the good news for him is that Nick Chubb apparently looks pretty bad. He looks, the reports from the beat writers are yep. that he looks slow. D'Amico yep. Ryan, did you see D'Amico Ryan's comments? He was like, yeah, you know, he doesn't have the burst he used to have, but he still loves football. I was like, brother, I love football, man.
That's not good. You know, that's not good, man. That's a bad sign.
Yeah. He still loves football, man. It's like, you know, some of these guys don't love football and they're amazing at it. You know who didn't like football? Curtis Martin said he didn't like football. He's in the Hall of Fame. So give me the guy that doesn't like football that's good at it versus a guy that looks like, he looks like a lineman going through the hole that loves the game. So I'm again, it's like, what am I going to do though? What should we realistically tell people to do? Because Woody Marks is going essentially undrafted. Should people be picking up yep. some Marks? How are you playing it? Is that what you're doing?
So I've been taking Woody Marks for sure towards the end of drafts, like, you know, around 15, 16, 17, 18, whatever is like the last couple rounds, I'll take a shot. You know, I don't think he's ever got it in him to be, you know, a bell cow running back. Like, you know, right. everyone wants to like find the next, what, James Robinson that year when he was the Jaguars, right? I don't think Woody Marks has that in him. He's smaller. He's, you know, more of a pass catching, change of pace back. Definitely has an opportunity here. But with Mixon, I was on record 2, maybe 3 weeks ago saying I was out, totally out on Joe Mixon. Well, that was because he was getting taken in the 50s. Now right. I'm seeing him down in the late 70s, sometimes even the 80s. And I'm back in. I'm with you where I think the market is overcorrected a bit. Yes, there's a lot of concern here. Yes, he is age 29. But if you're telling me that I can get him, you know, RB 26, RB 27. He just goes around players like, what are we really doing here? Because I was taking a peek, and like, I'll see him go around guys like Travis Etienne. You know, good to see him get some snaps where he should be in the preseason, but what are we doing? J.K. Dobbins is starting to creep up in this range sometimes. And that's,
right. That's what I'm saying. Even like guys like Jordan Mason, like, I get the idea for sure, but like, Jordan Mason at times is being drafted in a spot where like people are drafting him as if he's been named the starting running back. Like, he went for, we did the auction. I covered the auction draft on SiriusXM for, at the expo. He went for like $18, dude, which is like what you pay for a starting running back. You know what I mean? Starting running back, like, price. And for me, like, when I get to that range, I usually already have two or three running backs. And it doesn't feel like you're catching a falling knife taking Mixon there. It feels exactly what it should feel like, which is using one of your bench spots on a high risk, high reward play that is pure upside. And if he's just completely done, then it doesn't matter, because guys in that range, you know, Travis Etienne might, you know, he could be the RB3 on that team for all we know. So it's like, for me, I know this guy's good when he's healthy. He might be healthy, he might not be. So I'm willing to take that swing in now that he goes so much later. I mean, I think I just took him in a draft. I think I picked him like pick 81. I was like,
it's a great spot.
And his ADP on Underdog is now like even lower than 81. Like, I think it's like 83, 85. It's like, yeah, of course.
Yeah, I've taken him a couple times in the mid 80s, and I've seen J.K. Dobbins like creep into like 98, so it's like they're close, and that's just a ridiculous thing to consider. Yeah, so
no,
like I said, you if you listen to the podcast here the last couple of weeks, I was out on Mixon, but prices now looks like we are all the way back in, man. I want to close things out here, talk about one more player. Another, things have changed. I'll just put it that way. Things have changed. Let's talk about Tampa Bay Buccaneer wide receivers. Talk a little bit about Ibuka. Talk a little bit about Godwin. For me, I was very vocal about how aggressive I was about to be on Ibuka a couple weeks ago. I was like, the Godwin, I believe his ankle surgery, second cleanup ankle surgery came out. I was like, I'm not playing games anymore. I know Ibuka is good. Shift him up the ranks. Now where I shift him up to the ranks, I'm not aggressive enough, right? I had a little window where I could get him. How are you kind of handling this Tampa Bay Bucs situation? And, you know, feel free to touch on, you know, possible regression from Baker, different, you know, offensive coordinator. There's just some question mark. Also missing a left tackle. A lot of question marks here, and I just want to know how you're handling these wide receivers in your drafts upcoming.
This is where I'm going to pull back the curtain on the show and let people know that you and me and John Arrington have been discussing this player and these guys for a while now. And Ibuka is the guy that I have the biggest discrepancy on between my dynasty rankings and my redraft rankings, because I had him very high in dynasty, wide receiver 3, also a guy that I was taking in my top 6. Pretty consistently in the top half of the first round. You know, people were messaging me in the Fantasy Alum Discord being like, you're really suggesting I should take Ibuka here at this pick? This is the guy I should take here. And I was like, yeah, that's where
absolutely. Yeah. Over Quinshon Judkins? Over RJ Harvey? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely.
That's what they were like. Yeah. Should I trade back? And I'm like, no, stay there and pick him. So that's what I was doing. But my concern was that, historically speaking, we know very rare for the third target on a team to have upside, because it's very rare for three guys on the same team all to get 100 targets. You know, if you look at Pro Football Focus or some of those sites that take out a lot of the junk throws that don't matter, that aren't real targets, like over the last 2 years, no team has had three guys get 100 targets. The last time it happened was the Minnesota Vikings, and there's an asterisk on that because TJ Hockenson just joined the team. I know some sites out there, I'm not sure what you guys have, some sites have the Bears last year as being a team where three guys got 100 targets technically. But like, if you take all the teams, right, and you look at the third best pass catcher in terms of like, you take the third best pass catcher in terms of targets, the best one last year was Rashad Bateman, and he was wide receiver 40. So for me, I really don't want a guy. If I'm projecting a guy to be third on the team, I usually don't want him. So, and I'm a big Godwin guy, huge fan. Last year, he was, you know, when he got hurt, he was the wide receiver 2 in PPR behind only Jamar Chase, right? He was doing sick, great, man. Yeah, I was counting my money, bro. I was sitting here week 2 with like these teams with Kamara and Rashi Rice and Chris Godwin and Rashid Shaheed, and I was like, oh, I'm rich. And then the season ended. I got crushed, man. So, but like, that's like the thing is, Godwin, man, you're right. They can tell us all they want that this second surgery was planned, but I don't think the plan was for him to not be ready to play. Like, they gave him a ton of money, and there's no injury clause in that contract, Tyler. Like, none at all. He could miss the entire season and get all the money. All the money. I mean, whereas Stephon Diggs, his contract, in Stephon Diggs' contract, he had a clause that said his contract would be void if he didn't pass his physical. He has over $7 million tied to incentives, and some of those incentives are, for instance, his game check incentive, the roster bonus, $200,000 a game. So we're talking over $3 million. So every game he would miss, and his season-long incentives are the minimum instead of $1,000. If you miss three games, like, Stephon Diggs is going to lose millions and millions of dollars. Chris Godwin, on the other hand, has none of that, and he might not be ready to go. So with Egbuka, he's just so talented, man, and seems like such a great guy, such a smart guy. My comp for him before the draft was Chris Godwin. So the fact that they said, hey, we have Chris Godwin, how about second Chris Godwin? Does that sound good to everyone? Like, yep. I mean, I had to move him up. Now I'm getting some shares of Egbuka, but now I feel dumb because you guys, you know, loaded up your portfolio early, and I'm telling you, I was at maybe 2%. So I'm playing catch up now.
It's an interesting spot, though. Like, do you find yourself okay with where he goes now? Like, are you like, oh, seeing him where he goes, seeing his ADP, and you're still all the way in, keep clicking, smashing that button? I think around like 78, kind of 80 range.
I do, because of the guys he goes around, I don't like. It just happened where he settled in, even boosting up where he settled in. Like, I don't love taking Jordan Addison. I find myself I'm scared of Jerry Jeudy, especially in best ball, where like best ball mania, where the last three games are everything. Like,
yep, I'm with you.
Right, because like, what happens when they open up that clown car of quarterbacks when they have four wins and just start letting whoever play a game? That's what they did last year. It was like, you know, it's like you get one game from Jameis Winston, but then you get a game from Anthony, you know, Bailey Zappi, or, you know what I mean?
It's
like,
rough, it's just, man, it can get bad, right? Especially when they're not trying to win. Yeah,
right. Like, people think they're like, oh yeah, Shedeur Sanders are coming. That's actually not what they might. When they have three wins, you might see Shedeur Sanders play one game, and then you'll see Dylan Gabriel play one game. Like, it could get really gross. So, like, the one guy that I wanted to ask you about in that range that I'm really high on, and I want to know who you would take if you're on the clock, because this is the one that's preventing me from going full smash here.
Okay.
Is that I really like Stephon Diggs. So yeah. I sit there with Diggs and Egbuka there sometimes. And, you know, because on Underdog, the Diggs goes pick. I think Diggs is ADP 60. I was looking at it yesterday. Diggs ADP is 69 and Egbuka is 70. Yeah. And I almost am now, because I'm trying to play catch up. This is kind of the sick individuals we are. I sit there and I root for someone else to take Diggs. So I have permission to take Egbuka, right? You do that too, though, don't you?
Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about, because you just got to level the portfolio. Sometimes you look at it, you're a little heavy, and you're like, and like, right. The thing is like, my best ball ranks are like posted on FTN. So I like, typically what I would do is I would just lower them in my ranks so I didn't get them, right?
Right.
Like, yeah, and exactly. But I know they're not ranked there, but I lower them just so I can balance the portfolio out.
I mentally do that too, where I look at it and I'm like, wow, I have 40% Kenneth Walker. Like, I need to, I needed to settle that down. What's your, not to get off topic, but what's your highest you like to go exposure wise? Like 30?
I would say like in the first half, say it's like first half of the draft, those guys usually around like 23 to 25. I would say I don't want to be 30, but if I'm talking like late round guys, like I was at one point in time talking about guys I had to back off of, I was probably at like 55% Alec Ayomanor for like a while. Man. Cause you get him with your 18th pick, and I was just like in the 18th pick, and I'm like, usually I'm just trying to add a seven, like usually an eighth wide receiver with most of my build, sometimes ninth wide receiver. And I'm essentially just like, well, he's here, 18th round, click his name. I think he's probably the only real X on the Titans roster, like the only true X wide receiver on the Titans roster. And I'm a believer of the talent. Right. And I don't really like Cam Ward that much. He's just one of those guys where I'm like, click.
That's a good point, though, because in that case, though, it's like those guys in the very last rounds, like you can be way high exposure on those guys because it's not going to hurt you. Like, if you go and look at last year, like six of the teams that finished top 10 on Best Ball Mania had Jermaine Burton. And a ton of teams had Jermaine Burton, but he never cracked a lineup once. It was just one of those guys that, you know, sharp people were clicking on in the very last round, which it's like, I'm not worried about that. What I'm worried about is Kenneth Walker. Like that, if he gets hurt, 40% of my teams are in
tanks.
I can't add that.
That's me. Brock Bowers gets hurt this year, my teams are cooked, basically. Right, I'm at.
Speaking of Tank Bigsby is one of the guys that I have a lot of. And then now he's moving up the ranks, and I'm happy to let somebody else take him a few times, because I was jamming the button on Bigsby early, and it was already making me nervous. So let's
hit that. I want to hit that because it's something I've been thinking about too. Because like I've been, I mean, I was taking Tootin for a little bit there just because I was a fan of the profile. Now I'm back on ETN. Every once in a while, I'll take Tank Bigsby. And like, I really have no idea what to think of the situation. I think you and I can both agree that we do expect the Jaguars offense to be at least serviceable, better than it was, right? And
for sure.
You know, I'm high on some of those players. They got a good thing going on right now. I'm expecting some the whole offense as a whole to just be better for fantasy. And with that said, all those running backs go super late. You don't have to pay anything for almost any of these guys at this point in time. And lately, you know, we can't overreact to one preseason game, but there is some signal there, I believe, with how they play players. What are you doing as of today here on August 11th with your handling of this Jaguars backfield?
Yeah, I still like Bigsby, man. I do. I think that he was the most efficient runner on the team last year. He led the team in carries, led the team in yards. Yards per rush were better. And I mean, when you look at what Liam Cohen did last year, he was absolutely willing to go with Bucky Irving over the incumbent because Bucky Irving was a more efficient back, and it was interesting that everyone thought Bucky was going to end up being the pass down back because he was one of the better pass down backs in that class. But they made Rashad White the pass down back because of the rushing efficiency. And that's with Tank Bigsby. I know he doesn't have a great pass catching profile, but if you are the starting back, I mean, Nathan Yonke is over at PFF did a really good study on just the fact that the guy that starts the game, right? The guy, even if you have no third down work, has more RB1 weeks, has more RB2 weeks, offers more consistency. So I think in redraft, that's probably your safest bet right now. It's also interesting, I'll just to hark back to that auction draft, because that's one of the things I love about the Fantasy Football Expo, is we can sit there with a panel of 14 guys that are doing an auction draft, and it includes, you know, JJ Zacharyson, Matt Harmon, Rich Rebar, Ian Harditz, right? And Bob Harris and all these guys, Michael Fabiano was in it. And we sit there, we put a name up, and everyone gets a chance to give their opinion on this player by way of throwing a number up, right? And with the Jaguars backfield, I specifically was like tracking that to see, okay, how are we going to do this? And Travis Etienne went for $6, and then Tank Bigsby went for 12.
Double.
Yes. Now, where we didn't get the good look, which is very disappointing, is that at the very end of the draft, Bob Harris just had $12 left in one spot, and he just put it on Bashaul Tootin. But I asked him after, I was like, did you have Bashaul Tootin as a $12 player? He said, no, I just had $12.
Fair enough.
We didn't get a real number on Tootin, but just based on talking to guys in the room, it probably would have gone Bigsby, most expensive, then Tootin, and then it would have gone ETN. And I did the redraft league that morning, and that's how they were drafted in that same order. So we did two expert drafts with 14 teams, and we got two different looks at it, and the results were the same twice. I think that tells you kind of where kind of the big dogs in the industry are, but you're the biggest dog when it comes to rankings. So now I need to ask where you're at.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny you say that, man, because ETN. Lately I've been doing ETN. Hitting ETN, man. I think it's just one of those players where he's just like old news. Like people are just done, and things did not go well last year for him, but there was an injury present. And for me, I've seen the upside that he can produce. I don't believe he's that much older anymore. And I understand that there's risk involved with taking ETN, and he could just be an absolute nothing burger. Like I absolutely get that that's in the range of outcomes for him, but getting him, you know, outside the top 30, I wish I had his age in front of him. He's not that old. He's not.
He's 26. And he had back-to-back 1,400 yard seasons. So when you say you've seen it, like you've seen it like exactly what we're looking for. Like he literally what you got last year from like Chuba Hubbard, 1,400 yards. I mean, like Aaron Jones last year, like back-to-back. And so I'm with you on that. But so for you, is this a, because again, we got to context it in terms of, I'm drafting him because he is the cheapest of the three, or I actually in my rankings have him first of the three.
I'm first of the three.
Yeah.
I have Tank Bigsby a couple spots behind him, and then I've buried Tootin recently.
I buried Tootin. And the thing is though, that anyone out there that's arguing that it's definitively one way or another, that's the only way to be wrong right now. Yeah. Right. It's like there's only one way to be wrong is to say that you know for sure. Like you can have a lean, but that's actually to me the much worse approach to say I know.
And I don't think it's too bold to say that whoever gets this right, it might not be a league winner, but it's certainly going to be a heavy contributor to your team. Like I don't think that, like right now they're all outside to say the top 30. there's going to be one of these guys finishing the top 20. I would bet that one of them, barring injury, if we get 17 games out of one of these guys, one of them finishes top 20 back. And while I wouldn't call that league winning, it's going to contribute and it's going to be a steal. And I think it's just finding the right guy. And this is how you win fantasy football, is you look for these situations where we don't have answers, but we know one of these guys is going to pop. You stake your claim, you get your guy. Sometimes it works out like that, man.
Just to circle back to the start of the show and kind of put a pin in it here, this is what we're talking about. In the early part of the draft, we want certainty. So with guys like Puka Nacua and Ladd McConkey, a little uncertainty in there, that's bad news for us. Later in the draft, I'm looking for uncertainty, right? I want these backfields that are like, you know, we don't know who it is, but somebody could be the guy. That's where you do it. So it's like early, these early guys with the uncertainty we talked about, McConkey, Nacua, maybe pump the brakes. With the uncertainty, lean in there. And you know what? It's like, if you're doing best ball drafts, maybe have 20% ETN. If you like invest, have 15% Tank Bigsby, have a little bit of Tootin too. It's like, you just want to have access to that situation because we believe it's a good team. This isn't the Browns backfield here. This is a Liam Cohen offense led by Trevor Lawrence with Brian Thomas Jr. and the Travis Hunter. They took second overall. Like, this is a team we're expecting to score some puntos. So we need to have some exposure to this backfield, however you got to do it.
I'm going to call it there, Coop. That was a great way to end the show. We'll be getting out of here directly. But before we do, Andrew Cooper, lead fantasy analyst over at Fantasy Alarm, FWSA, Football Writer of the Year. Where can they find your work? Plug it here. Give me your stuff.
The easiest way to find me at Coupe Fiasco on the X Machine in Blue Sky. And I post anything that I can for free on Reddit at Coop. There it is. All my stuff's on Fantasy Alarm except for the SiriusXM show. I'm on 6 to 8 p.m. on Thursdays and Fridays. Also, once the season starts, 10 to 11 a.m., buddy. I cannot wait. I love the Sunday morning when the questions start flowing. There's nothing better. Nothing better. So excited, man. Thanks for having me on. And, you know, I know people are going to be excited to have Herms back next week. So it was nice to sit in his chair for a little bit and chat it up with you.
It is sincerely appreciated. Always good to chop it up with you, my friend. As always, you can find me at FFTylerO. And no surprise, everything is over at FTN. That's all we have today, folks. Don't forget, tell somebody you love them. Later.